What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sheehan Show here on SureDog.com. My name is Sean Sheehan, and I'm back with the betting show, and it is a bumper weekend in the world of mixed martial arts. So we have a bumper betting show for you. We have extra bets. We have two bets from PFL. We have five bets from UFC 300, and we have two flyers from UFC 300 as well. So I'm giving you more betting tips, more opportunities to win money, more opportunities to lose money as well here. Please bet responsibly. But I just saw too many bets. I left too many behind. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. Why do I have to be held to five bets? So we are here with, what is it? Five, six, seven, eight, nine bets? Nine bets. We've loads of bets for this week in the world of mixed martial arts. And we're going to get through them. I can't wait for this weekend, to be honest. It's a very good PFL card, as I mentioned. I have a full preview out on that. Check out the lads here on SureDog. They did a full preview for UFC 300. You can check out my previews as well. I have done over in Umber Severe Main, other places as well. For UFC 300, lots of great stuff to check out for this card this weekend. And it's going to be epic. And I cannot wait to get into it. I'll have a recap as well of the PFL card for you if you're not shitting up for that or can't catch that, or maybe just want to, you did catch it and you want a bit of analysis. I will have that as well this week, as well as I said, the preview that's already out. Right, before we get into next week, let's quickly recap last week. Again, a bit of a 50-50 week last week, but we hit a flyer, only the second flyer of the year. And it was a good one. Allen win by decision. So, you know, a pretty, I think a few people, I fell asleep after the second round and woke up and saw, oh, wait, my flyer won. So that was great. I think a lot of people are kind of given out by the decision. It's weird, actually, when you go back and watch it, it's almost like a different fight when you know the result and when you know, like, the bet was good. So, like, do I really care? Like, that's the big part of it. But that hit anyway. So plus 415 there. That was pretty good. The other bet that hit was Valentin Moldovsky at plus 105. So two plus money bets from last week. That was pretty good. The ones that didn't hit, Linton Vassell, that was a poor fight all around. Jermaine Durandamy again, a kind of poor fight all around. And then Vili Mäkinen, that was just a great display by Decky McLean over Cage Warriors. And as I said last week, I half hope I was wrong on that one, and I was, because Decky put on, I think, the display of his career. So fair play to him on that. So overall, we haven't had a great start to the year. We've hit 19 bets out of 46. Look, we've had 19 winning bets. We're looking at that way, and only the two flyers so far. So hopefully that will improve. Hopefully both our flyers hit this week, and we can get off to a good start. Right, I'm going to start with PFL. I'm going to give you my two PFL bets, and I'm going to run through the rest of the PFL card as well, and then we'll get all into UFC 300 then after that. Right, bet number one of the week. Jacob Indo over in PFL, and he is minus 145 in his fight with Dolshan Yashimuradov. And you might be saying here, Shani, Yashimuradov, that guy, title contention not too long ago, fought Corey Anderson. You know, he's won three in a row, beating some good guys, beating the former contender in Angliscus, Rosansky, one of the best, maybe unknown guys in the division. And he's facing a very much an up-and-comer. But this up-and-comer, I think, is a special, special guy. He won the PFL European tournament last year. He beat two good guys in Anthony Salamone, who's been around for a while and fought some good guys as well. Knocked him out in the first round. Beat Ricardo Nosiglia, who, maybe wasn't as good. And that brought him to, 7-0 in his career? 7-1 in his career. He lost his first fight, but that was 3 years before he fought his next fight, and one of those ones you can kind of, you know, you can leave to the side. But then in the finale he beats Simone Powell, and if you don't know who Simone Powell is, he's a really, really, really good fighter, and he kind of took him apart, beat him down and finished him in the second round. It was an unbelievably good win from an unbelievably good prospect. Like, I watched him, I looked back at my my notes from last year and added a few more to them after watching that fight. And I suppose what you'd add to is something that you look at a fighter and go, right, this is the sort of fighter he is. This is what he needs to add to become the next level. And he did that, I think, in this last run. He is a very good wrestler who is a very good striker, who's a very good ground and pound artist, who's good everywhere. and he doesn't stop anywhere. He's the perfect type of fighter you would want for, you know, you're talking about judging, for winning judges' decisions. Very good at it. Now, he hasn't gone to any. He's won all of his fights inside the distance very, very quickly. Only gone to the second round once. But he is an electric fighter. And I think the reason he'll win this fight is because of that wrestling. Now, a lot of his fights in via strikes or maybe a quick takedown and punches or something like that. But I think, yeah, Shimuradov, you look back at the Corey Anderson fight, the takedown was too easy. The ground and pound was too easy. And I think Endo can do that to him as well. Now, it is a big step up. Make no mistake about that. And I think this is the sort of challenge you'd have to get a price in this, like this, and Endo, for a guy who is, you know, a very good athlete, 27 years of age. It's all kind of written for him. But I feel like he's fighting Yashimordov here. If he wins this fight, you'll never get a price like this again. So it was one price that definitely stuck out to me. It's like, I think this guy is going to be world level in PFL Bellator at 205. And, you know, he could surprise a lot of people, I think, in this tournament this year. So I think he's going to get that fight to the ground. I think he's going to get the finish. And I like him there at that price of... what was it again? -145 there, and we can have a look at it here. So, -155, -160 in some places here, but the best price -145 on Jacob Indo there. Right, second bet of the week is also from the PFL, and it is one that maybe. You know, I was torn a little bit on who would win this fight, right? But then I saw the betting, and I saw that Patricky Fehea was +165 to beat Clay Collard. And I just think that price is a way, way, way too much. I think this could have been an even enough fight. I think this is a very, very, very hard fight to pick. Like, you look at Clay Collard and you look at Patricky over the last few years, and I suppose they've had a similar sort of run in terms of wins and losses. You know, Clay Collard has lost his last two, lost to AJ McKee, obviously, there a few weeks ago, and lost to Oba Mercier, then beat Burgos Rey and Nishikawa, lost to Martinez, beat Stevens, lost to Manfeu. You look at Patricky, lost to Shabli, but beat D'Souza, lost to Nurmagomedov, beat Queely, and lost to Queely, lost to Musayev, and then won, like, five or six fights in a row all the way back. You're going back to 2017, but he beat the likes of Ryan Scope and Tatsuya Kawajiri and others as well. He's been on a very good run and improving, I think, with his brother. The two of them have improved up until a certain point. And I just find this one a fight that could go either way. I think if you look at Bodum, like, only four losses via finish in the career of Patricky, Clay Collard on the other side of it, then, like, he's lost 12 times. They've both lost 12 times, in fact. And, five finishes in there. A lot of them have been, obviously, by decision as well. They almost have identical records, funnily enough. 24-12 versus 25-12. That's very odd. But I think with Patricky, I think he is more likely in... The scenario we have with PFL in this season format to attack more than maybe he normally does. And I think that might be the key to winning this. I think if you go at Clay Collard and you attack him, that it takes him out of his, like, what he's best at. I think what Clay Collard is best at is actually being, like, a really good technical, you know, boxer / fighter. And I think sometimes we look at Clay Collard and go, oh, he's a tough guy and he's, he leaves it all on the line and all. But I think he deserves more respect than that. But at the other side of it, then, I think you need to take away that level of respect and kind of go at him. And I think Patricky will actually do that based on the way Clay fights. And another part of this is, I remember talking about it there the other day with, I think it was, it might be my colleague Harry Powell that talked about how Patricky likes to counter the jabs an awful lot. And what does Clay Collard do? He jabs. Like, Clay Collard is a jabber. It just, it's one of those, and I hear, look, what am I doing here? I'm kind of convincing myself a little bit, right? Which is what we do when we're betting. But at the same time, I think both of them will land their shots. I think this will go to a decision, and I think it'll be a close decision, right? That's the reality of it, in my opinion. I might be wrong, but, and I think it will just about favour Patricky in that because of those bigger shots landed. Like, in decisions, 10 and 7 in decisions, 7 and 8 in decisions. Okay, there's a little bit of an advantage there for Clay Collard, but very similar. Again, this is a price bet. If Clay Collard is plus 165, I'd probably be picking him. So those are my two bets from the PFL. And let's run through the other prices here from the PFL just while while the going is good. Brent Primus and Miranda, very similar prices as well. Minus 105, minus 115-ish. Miranda just about the favourite there. Although Brent Primus is the favourite in a couple of places. So that tells you the story, I think, of it. I would be picking Miranda based solely on the fact that I think it might, might catch up to Brent Primus at this stage of his career. So I'll go for Miranda on that one. I do like Rabsabov over Renfro. I think Renfro has a lot of talent, but if you can get Rabsabov at minus 182 and maybe it's in accumulator or something, I think that's pretty good. This one, I'd be going for the underdog price here, Adam Piccolatti against JJ Wilson. I'm gonna take Piccolatti there, plus 130. I like that underdog price. And then Romero and Espinoza, kind of one of the undercard fights there. I'll probably go for Espinoza, minus 188. Then the rest of the PFL card, the main event, we'll go to the main event last. Beung against Antonio Carlos Jr., minus 250. Ish for Shoeface. Simon Beung +205. I like Beung. Is the price up for the knockout yet? It isn't, unfortunately. But if there was a Beung knockout price, it may be +500, +600. I'd probably bet on that more than anything else in that fight. Shoeface is, like, you could argue in the best price -240. You could argue that's not a bad price, but I have a sneaky feeling Beung might land a big shot in there. But, this one, Silvera against Seed, this price has definitely moved. Let's just see this over the last couple of days, if it'll come up. Yeah, so Silvera has gone from plus 126 all the way out to minus 112 in some places. And I'm not surprised. Actually, he's minus 120 there. Look, best price, plus 110. It's kind of become more of an even fight over the last couple of days. I was leaning Silvera when I saw that price, and he would have been one of my bets. But now that the price has come in so much and he's minus 129 even in one place, I wouldn't be having that, so I left it to the side. But I think in an even money fight, is how much size is he put on? How is he going to look at the weight class and all? I don't know. I think if it's too even, if you're going pound for pound, who's the better fighter between them? I think C is the better fighter. But going up two weight classes is going to be tough. I'd avoid it. Who will I pick? I'll pick C. I'm just going to lean C, but I'll avoid it. Again, Mads Brunel, I think that's a good price. Minus 195, good price for an accumulator. Wilkinson and Breeze, again, I think they've gotten this right on the prices. I think Wilkinson should be the favourite. And minus 215, plus 180, I think that's about right. If you get me maybe plus 250 on Tom Breeze, I might have a go at it, but not at that price. We talked about Collard and Fahey, obviously. And then Polizzi and Kasanganai. You know, will you be betting a Kasanganai best price minus 300? Maybe not. Is Polizzi going to win that fight? I don't think so. Is plus 275 big enough of a price to hit me? It's not. So I would, again, if you want to try to enter an accumulator, maybe, but I think Kasanganai will win that fight. Right. UFC 300 time. Let's get into it. Let's talk about UFC 300. And I'm gonna run through these bets. Not quickly, but I want to get to them and talk about them here. First bet of the week, I'm going for Bobby Green. He is minus 165 to beat Jim Miller. That actually, just since I started recording, the price has gone out to minus 175. When I did it, it was minus 165. So we're keeping the minus 165 in here just for, what do we call it? Prosperity or whatever you might want to call it. It's a weird one, right? Because I was recording a preview for this the other day, and everyone was like, oh, Jim Miller, he's on, you know, he's on UFC 300, and he was on UFC 100, and he was on UFC 200, isn't it great? You know, he's going to win this fight and go off into, you know, whatever. And I'm like, is he going to win this fight? Like, I think it's going to be tough for him to win this fight. Like, Bobby Green has been on a good run over the last while. Okay, he lost to Jalen Turner, who's a very, very good fighter, but he beat Grant Dawson before that, and he beat Tony Ferguson. But that Grant Dawson fight, that was only in October of last year. And, like, Grant Dawson, I think, is a very good wrestler and a, you know, a good enough striker too. Like, who'd win in a fight between Grant Dawson and Jim Miller? I think that's a very, very, very tough fight for Jim Miller at this stage of his career. And, you know, that's a bit of MMA math there. But, like, will Jim Miller easily take Bobby Green down and submit him? I don't think so. Here's the stats on Bobby Green. Only been submitted twice in his career. The last time, I believe, I looked at this the other day, but my memory, I believe it was in 2007. Was that it? Let's check here. 2009 was the last time he was submitted. He was submitted twice in 2009 and never has been submitted before or since. Not that easy. And who's going to win on the feet? That's a simple enough breakdown there, but I think Bobby Green is going to win on the feet. I think he's going to land the bigger shots. I think Jim Miller will be live and he'll go for it and everything like that, but I don't think he'll win. And I think that price is very, very good as well. I'm not surprised it's gone out a little bit, but -165, Bobby Green, first bet for UFC 300. Second bet for UFC 100, I'm going all the way to the main event here, and I'm going for Alex Pereira straight up, -125. I think it's too good of a price to let down. It's still the best price here right now, -125. I think it's a fantastic price. We'll get into it more in a second. Let's look at a couple of the underprices. If you fancy Alex Pereira to get the knockout, it's only +120, which, you know, is it big enough of a move to go for it? +180 for Hill, interesting. Pereira by submission, I don't think that's happening, but maybe Hill by submission, he can fight in the ground, +1400. What about Pereira by decision, +600, interesting. Hill by decision, +650. By the looks of that, people think it's going to be, betting odds think it's going to be finished. The unders, let's look at the unders. -165 for under 2.5 rounds. -275 for under 3.5. +132, best price there, for under 1.5 rounds. I think it might be... the betting odds, if you're to tip me with betting odds, I'd probably go for under 2.5. I think under 3.5 is what it's going to be. But that's interesting there on that one. But all in all, just to talk about the fight, the reason I'm picking Alex Pereira is there's a lot of reasons, to be honest. Now, I really like Jamal Hill as a fighter. I actually predicted he'd be champion years ago, and people give me stick for that, but I did. I predicted it, and he did become it. And I think the problem for him here is I think he's going to strike with Alex Pereira, and I think that's going to be a big issue. Like, can Jamal Hill hit him and knock him out? Absolutely. Jamal Hill hits like a truck, and he's very good offensively. He can absolutely hit you. Now, he mightn't have, you know, the technical ability or the tactical ability of an Alex Pereira, no doubt about it, but still, you don't need that sometimes when you have the raw force and aggression. But I think Alex Pereira has seen that many times. Like, unorthodox is sometimes tough, absolutely. So that might be an issue. But I think Alex Pereira would be able to work with that. I think he'd be able to, I think he'd be able to take that little bit of a step back, wait for Jamal Hill to come in and land those counters. Like, watching Jamal Hill fights, you can't help but think left hook, left hook, left hook all the time. He's just wide open for it. And look, we've seen how good Alex Pereira is. The other side of it, you can't help but remember that Jamal Hill is just coming off an Achilles injury. He's facing one of the best calf kickers we've seen in the history of the sport. Plus, he's fighting a guy that you're going to need to be able to move as well as you've ever moved to beat. It's hard to say that those demons from that injury are not going to still be there. I'm very, very, very surprised by this price. I think this is by far the best price of the weekend on any fight. Minus 125. I think Pereira should probably be minus 275, maybe. I think he's a massive favorite here. There's just too many things against Jamal Hill. I don't think he's going to take the fight to the ground, which he probably should. And I think Alex Pereira is going to eat him up. I think he's going to eat him up. Right. Next bet. We're on to bet. That was four. The third, fifth bet overall, the third bet from UFC 300. I'm going with Kayla Harrison by submission, a plus 280. I love this fight with Holly Holm. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I'm a big, big fan of this fight. The straight-up price on the fight is Holly Holm. Best price, plus 360. Kayla Harrison, best price, minus 250. As I said, the finish is here. The knockout for Holm, plus 1,100. Plus 380 for Harrison. I like that as well. Plus 350 for home, 3,500 for home for the submission. But Harrison, plus 290 best price there at the moment for it to win the by the submission. What did I have it as? I had a plus 280. Yeah, so it's up to plus 290 there. We can adjust that in the notes. I just think she's going to take her down and submit her. It's as simple as that. I think Holly's a little bit too old now. I think that that far out stance is great against people who maybe don't have the ability to close the distance quickly. I think Harrison will have that, and she will have it in even a more of an abundance when she has 20 pounds less on her back in fight night and fight preparation. The weight cut, will it be an issue? I don't think it's going to be an issue, as most people say. When she was down at 145, she didn't look exactly sucked out. I saw her at the press conference today. She looked good. If it is an issue, absolutely anything could happen if it is an issue, but I don't think it will be. And that price really sticks out to me as well, plus 290 now to win by submission. Like, she is going to take the fight to the ground. I think Holly Holm is going to have a big issue. Now, Holly can fight on the ground. There's no doubt about it. She very much has the ability to fight there. She's only been submitted once in her career, you know, and that was a good while ago. Again, look, the Misha Tate fight, which we all remember. But, you know, Kayla Harrison has six submissions in her career, and she hasn't fought that level of person before, but I think I could see an armbar here, maybe. You know, she wants, talking about the whole Ronda Rousey thing, I'm going to do what Ronda Rousey couldn't do. What about if she armbarred Holly Holm? There you go. So there's my big call for the weekend. I think that's what's going to happen. Right, next bet. I know my colleague Keith chilling like this one, and a lot of the American viewers here. I'm going for Bo Nickel to win by knockout at plus 148 again. Bo Nickel to win straight up. Let's where is it here? I have it here. Bo Nickel to win straight up. Best price -2,000. Biggest price -3,000. His opponent is +1,200 to win, and Bo Nickel just to win by knockout. +150, +140-ish around that. I think that's crazy. I think that is crazy. I think he's going to do it. I'll just adjust. I said 148 out to 150 now. Look, how has Bo Nickel been winning his fights? If you look at him and you look at how his fights have been going over the last while, he's very much been coming out. He's very much been striking. He's very much been hitting lads very hard, and he's very much been, you know, knocking him out. He won by knockout in his last fight. Okay, he's a few submissions in there as well. 3 submissions, 2 knockouts. There's definitely, you know, a possibility that Bo Nickel wins by submission. That price is minus, best price -105, worst price -150. So still a good price, you know. But I'm picking a knockout, and I'm going for the knockout in that one. Watching Brundage as well. Like, Brundage's only been submitted once in his career. He is a good enough wrestler and a good enough grappler. Right, better offensive, I think, than defensive. But at the same time, like, I don't think he's a good striker. I think he's wide open. He does like this kind of like this kind of squatting, hooking stance, which is actually very good on the break. And I like I know Bonickel is one of these guys who's very kind of confident and cocky in his game. If you're looking at that, if you're a coach or Bonickel yourself or whatever looking at that, that's the only thing you need to avoid. Avoid that clinch. Stay away from him. Throw your shots, throw your hands, and I think you'll probably knock him out. And even if you don't do that, you'll get a takedown. And then you finish him on the ground with maybe a ground pound, maybe whatever. But I do think he's good at defending on the ground. He's good at defending takedowns. Now, if Bonickel tries to take him down, I'm sure he can take him down. But Brundage's one big shot is that kind of flying left hook off the break or the right hand off the break. He's very good at throwing them. And he's powerful enough too. So just avoid it and throw the big shots. Big head kick. He's wide open. Like when he does that, he's like this squatting, dribbling stance that kind of comes in and very much open. And I think a guy like Nickel will pick him apart and put a beating on him on the feet. So there you go. Right. Next bet. I changed this bet very, 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 very recently. Literally before I was doing it, I was going for Aljamain Sterling. Maybe I'll try an extra bet. Maybe I'll go for Aljamain Sterling. I heard him talking about this fight, and I was thinking about it. I was going to give it, but I've changed my mind, and I'm now going to give you Jiří Procházka instead, who is plus 105 to beat Alexander Rakic. That is a mad price. That is a mad, mad price. Plus 105 to win that fight. Look, I think what happened... Jiří Procházka, okay, he came into his last fight. He got knocked out by Alex Pereira. I thought it was an early stoppage, to be honest. And now he goes back again, and we're, you know, 5-6 months later. He's left himself 6 months later, left himself a good bit of time to recover, to be fair, because even though I thought it was an early stoppage, he did take a good bit of damage in that fight. Rakic, on the other hand, has been injured and he's been out for 2 years. This is his first fight in almost exactly 2 years, 23 months. And I think Procházka is a bit of a nightmare matchup for him, to be honest. Like, Rakic at his best, he's a very good technical, tactical fighter. And okay, normally you would pick a fighter like that to beat a fighter like Procházka, who's wild and varied and all of that. But Procházka has made a career out of beating guys like that. You know, he's made a career out of beating guys who are tall and big and technical. You know, he beat, okay, Glover Teixeira, Dominic Reyes, Mo Lual, Bruno Capiloza, Carl Albrechtsen, Vadim Nemkov. The best example, probably. Maybe not tall, but technical. And to have one fight and one loss to Alex Pereira, who's the best fighter in the world, and write him off after that and make him the underdog coming into this fight against Rakic, I think that is, that is a big case to make there. I love that price. I like Rakic as a fighter as well, but I think coming off of 2 years out, he, you know, to be that fighter, that, you know, that stoic, jabbing, controlling fighter, I think it's very hard to come off the, and he's not coming off the couch, but it's very hard to come off of a layoff and do that. Very, very hard, I think. And we've seen it down through the years. A lot of people have not been able to do it. You know, Dominic Cruz maybe the one exception. So I think he's going to struggle. I think, you know, I think this probably should be a minus 205 rather than a plus 105 for Procházka. Great price. I'm going for him. So that's the five straight up bets from UFC 300. And here is your two flyers. I love these flyers. I'll be really, really honest. Flyer number one, Zhang Weili wins by submission at plus 510. Plus 510. I love this bet. I absolutely love this bet altogether, plus 510. I think, and it's funny, I was talking to a few people about this fight and about Zhang Weili, and she reminds me a little bit at this stage of her career, right, where, look, she's held the title, she's lost it, she came back, she's won 3 in a row now, she is the champion, the defending champion, the reigning champion, who's probably going to go on and have 4, 5, 6 title defenses, right? She's reached a stage like Valentina Shevchenko reached, where she settled in that run. And what did Valentina Shevchenko do in that run? And I think she can do the same thing. She did it, you know, she did it to Esparza a little bit, but I think there's going to be more control and more takedowns here. So she's going to win on the feet, have the fight, you know, kind of not sewn up on the feet, but be winning on the feet. Her opponent is like, oh, how am I going to find my way back into this? Will I change something? And as they're thinking, she gets him in a head and arm choke. She gets him in a body lock, puts him on the ground like Shishinko used to do, and just takes that option away from him. I feel like that she has that in her. She's done it in multiple fights now, very much like Shevchenko. And I think this fight is even more open to that happening than most. She has a good few submissions, 8 submission wins in her career versus 10 knockouts. Her opponent has been submitted once. Okay, it was a good while, a good long time ago now, but she's not unsubmittable, let's put it that way. And I think Zhang Weili is just going to be way better than Yan. I just think she is going to be better on the feet. But Yan, like, how does Yan win the fight? I think she does what she does to Jessica Andrade. She lands that big shot. She stays active in there. Again, that left hook, but the kind of that uppercut that she lands as well sometimes. That's how she wins the fight, I think. She wins it by being the more technical fight, but then by landing that one big shot. Again, like the Bo Nickel fight I mentioned, how do you take that possibility away? You know, okay, different for Bo Nickel, but you take it away for her by taking the fight to the ground after running it on the feet. And I can very much see her now, body lock, takes the back, rear naked choke, maybe the second or third round. That's the prediction. I think that price is fantastic. Plus 510. So there you go. There's flyer number one of the week. And flyer number two of the week is Charles Oliveira to win by knockout at plus 800. Plus 800 for Charles Oliveira to win by knockout against Armin Saryukin. I think that is absolutely crazy. And let's just have a check at all the rest of the prices at the end here. But I think that's mad. Plus 700 in some places, plus 600 in other places. The best price, plus 800. Look, if you're Charles Oliveira, how do you fight? How has Charles Oliveira been fighting over the last few years? He's been all out attack on the feet so that if you take him down, he's happy enough to fight you on the ground because he knows his jiu-jitsu is that good, right? I think that even goes more so for fighting a guy like Saryukin because he'll want to knock him out because he knows Saryukin's wrestling might be good enough to stop the jiu-jitsu. And like, will it? I think it actually probably will be. Right, so if you're to give me a straight up winner of this fight, I'd probably go for Saryukin to win via wrestling domination. But what's the second outcome I would take? The second outcome I take is probably the Oliveira knockout. Like, coming into the last Saryukin fight against Dariush, I remember thinking to myself, like, does he have enough power to win fights like this? Now, Dariush, okay, he doesn't have the best chin in the world, and he knocked him out. But if that was Oliveira, would he put the same on it? Like, does Oliveira have that knockout power worry that, like, he would have in, let's say, a Chandler fight, you know, a Poirier fight, a Gaethje fight? I don't think he necessarily does. So that means I think he can go ham on the feet even more so than normal. So give me plus 800 on that. That, I think, is an incredible, incredible price. For a guy who is worst price plus 170 to win the fight, I think that's a massive price to get the knockout. And definitely flyer. That's what a price for a flyer. What a price for a flyer. Absolutely love it. So we're betting on that as the flyer of the week. Right, let's just go through a few more of the other prices that we haven't, although we've touched on most of them now. Turner Moicano. I do like Turner there, but what about, is the Moicano by decision prop up there? I think there's a possibility on that as well. Moicano by decision, where are we? Wins inside the distance, and only one by decision. Am I blind here? Oh yeah, Moicano wins by decision, plus 550. Again, like Moicano was very boring in his last fight. And I can see him taking Turner down and trying to win that decision. I very much like that price more than anything else in that fight. I kind of hope I'm wrong. I hope it's exciting. But Andrade and Rodriguez, again, a fight. Maybe you take the over there. Over 2.5 rounds, minus 167. Let's go with that. Our fight goes to a decision. Minus 135. Yeah, minus 135. Fight goes to decision. I like that. Minus 132. This is a bet from that. I like Bobby Green, as I mentioned. Garbrandt and Figueroa. I like the under in this one. but the under in the great price. Although under 2.5 rounds at minus 148, minus 143, That's a good price. That's a good bet there. If you want to throw that into an ACA there, I would be going for that one. Right, let's look at some of the other prices. Let's start from the bottom. Lopez against Yusuf. If you're looking for an underdog play here, I think Yusuf is probably a good one. I think that's a 50-50 price, but I'd probably lean towards Yusuf in that one. Home Harrison, obviously talked about that in depth. The Sterling fight, I do think Sterling will win. You know, he's minus 160 here. I've seen best price in one place. It is a good price. It is a good price. I would lean towards that. I love Prohatchka, as I mentioned in that, especially if you're getting him at plus money, plus 105 here. Nickel and Brundage, we talked about that in depth. Saryukin and Oliveira, we've talked about that in depth. Let's look at a couple of more of the prices there. What about Oliveira by submission? Is that a possibility? Oliveira by submission, plus 450. That's a mad price. What about Saryukin by decision? Plus 300. That's not a bad price either. I like Saryukin by decision if that's a possibility for you there. The over-unders. The under 2.5 rounds, minus 235. Under minus 235. Yeah, so the over plus 170, it's not bad. I think the over round and a half at minus 138, that's not a bad bet at all. Minus 125 there, like that. Gaethje Holloway is the only big fight, so we haven't touched on yet, because I haven't a clue what's going to happen in that one. Look, the big over prices here, fight to go to a decision is the one I always like to look at. So it's very much even, they're very much unsure on that one. The fight itself... Gaethje minus 155 best price, Holloway plus 150. I think that's just about right there. Let's see the knockouts. Gaethje to get the knockout plus 150, plus 700 for Holloway. Interesting. Holloway submission plus 1800, plus 2200. Like, Gaethje has a big deficiency on the ground. If the fight can go there, I think Holloway, if he gets into a jiu-jitsu match, I think he can win that fight. But yeah, that's another one I wouldn't bet in that fight. I'll just enjoy that fight. We've talked a lot about, obviously, Yan against Weili. Let's look at some of the other props for that. Let's look at the unders here. The under 3.5 rounds plus 114. I like that. I like that bet. Fight to go to decision plus 100, minus 135 not. I like that as well. Minus 135, the fight not to go to decision. I do like that. Zhang Weili, if you fancy the knockout, plus 170, best price. But I do love that submission, plus 510 there. If you fancy the underdog, the knockout for Zhaonan, plus 1400. But I do not fancy that one. And the Pereira Hill. Let's look at the Hill knockout price. Again, we saw it earlier on, I think, but plus 205 Pereira knockout, plus 135-ish. So some good prices there. Let's look at the over-unders. Over 2.5 rounds, plus 128. Under 3.5 rounds, minus 275. Yeah, no, I think I'd avoid that as well. I'd just go for Pereira straight up, I think. What was it, Pereira by a knockout again? Plus 100, plus 120. No, I'd leave that. I'd just go for the straight up money price of minus 125 there. All right, everyone. That is it from me. Those are my litany of bets for this weekend in the world of mixed martial arts. I'll just go over them again. The two from over in PFL. Jacob Ndoh minus 145, plus 165 for Patricky Ferreira. And in my... big bets for UFC 300. Bobby Green, minus 165. Minus 125 for Alex Pereira. Kayla Harrison wins by submission, plus 290. Bo Nickel wins by knockout, plus 150. Yuri Prohatchka, straight up, minus 105. Sorry, plus 105 for Yuri Prohatchka. Zhang Weili wins by submission, the flyer of the week, number one, plus 510. And Oliveira wins by knockout at plus 800 in the second flyer of the week. All right, everyone, let me know in the comment section below. Give me your bet for UFC 300. Every single person who's watching this, give me your bet for UFC 300. Please bet responsibly. Please like the video. Please spread it. Tweet it at SeanCBA. Tag me in it, and I will retweet it. Every single person who tags me in this video will get a retweet to 27,000 followers or whatever. So it's only benefiting yourself, lads. Go on, throw it out over there, and enjoy the fights. Enjoy the fights. Bet responsibly. Have a great weekend. Eat, drink, and be merry. My name is Sean Sheehan for SureDog.com, and I'll see you all next time.